Ever felt like your prayers seemed to go unanswered? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Now, the Christian lives by prayer. Prayer is to your spiritual life what breath is to your body. And prayer can do anything that God can do, and God can do anything. We're fools if we don't learn to pray. But sometimes we're perplexed when we pray because we pray and it seems that our prayer is unanswered. Let me give you some reasons why.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the dynamic teaching and practical biblical lessons of Pastor Adrian Rogers. There is no substitute for prayer. As we just heard, it is to our spiritual life what breath is to our bodies. But sometimes we find ourselves perplexed because it feels like our prayers have gone unanswered. Often, our unanswered prayers are due to unoffered prayers. But when we sincerely pray, we can expect God to answer one of four ways. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 5, as Adrian Rogers begins part one of When Prayer Seems Unanswered.
Now, the Christian lives by prayer. Prayer is to your spiritual life what breath is to your body. And prayer can do anything that God can do, and God can do anything. We're fools if we don't learn to pray. And I have to keep telling myself that because there's a part of me that does not want to pray. And I know what part that is. It's the flesh. The old flesh has to be grabbed by the scruff of the neck and dragged into the place of prayer. But there's another part in me that desires to pray and loves to pray, and I thank God for that. And I don't know whether you felt that battle raging in you, but that battle rages in me often. But sometimes we're perplexed when we pray because we pray and it seems that our prayer is unanswered. And our study tonight is simply this: when prayer seems unanswered. Now, before we even get to the problem of unanswered prayer, let me talk to you about the tragedy of unoffered prayer. Some of the reasons that we don't have prayer answered is we have not even asked. James said in the book of James, "You have not because you ask not." There is the problem of unasked prayer. But let's think a little bit about the problem of unanswered prayer. When we pray and nothing seems to happen. Let's look beginning in chapter 1 and verse 5. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That is, these were good folks. But now notice, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he, that is Zacharias, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was, or his duty was, to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. They were outside praying. Zacharias is on the inside of the temple offering incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Now, just underscore that. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, this is referring to John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And he, that is John the Baptist, shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he call to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, that is before God, in the spirit and power of Elias, that is Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, here's Zacharias. He's in the temple. He and his wife Elizabeth, as we're going to see, had been praying for many years for a child, and the prayer was not answered. And then finally, in a later time, an angel comes and says, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. You're going to have a child. Now, when prayer seems unanswered, let me give you some reasons why. First of all, the answer may be denied. God may just simply deny. God may say, no, not every prayer is answered. Not all prayer is heard before God. It is obvious that Zacharias and Elizabeth were on praying ground, however. Look in verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But sometimes we ask for things that are out of the will of God, and God says no. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask Him anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, when Jesus gave us the model prayer, He taught us to pray what? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is not some way to get earth's will done in heaven, but to get heaven's will done on earth. And so nothing lies outside the reach of prayer but that that lies outside the will of God. And prayer is not bending God's will to fit our will. Prayer is finding the will of God and getting in on it. So sometimes God simply says no, and God does not hear our prayers because we are outside of His will. And you can pray and pray and pray, but God is not going to answer prayer that is outside of His will. Sometimes our prayers are utterly selfish rather than God-centered. Put down in your margin James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. James says, and whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that means strong desires, that war in your members? You lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Now, that's one reason we don't get our prayers answered. But now, notice the rest of it. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that is, you ask wrongly, that you might consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Do you know what the word enmity means? He's talking about warfare. Now, when he's saying adulterers and adulteresses, he's not talking literally, he's talking spiritually. You see, Christ is the bridegroom, and we're the bride. And if we want anything that the bridegroom does not want, we are flirting with this world, which is an unclean harlot that would take away our love for our Lord and Savior and the bridegroom. And to love this world is spiritual adultery, and it is warfare with God. So he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Don't have a girlfriend called this world. If you are a spirit-filled man, and if you're a spirit-filled woman, don't have a boyfriend called this world. That is spiritual adultery. So why would God finance your spiritual adultery? Now, if there's a man and a woman and they're married, and then the woman takes up with a man who's not her husband, and she and her boyfriend want to go to New Orleans to have a night on the town, it'd be a little absurd, wouldn't it, for she, this woman, to come to her true husband, say, husband, I need $1,000. My boyfriend and I are going to New Orleans to have a good time. Would you mind giving us $1,000? That is, would you finance our worldliness? Would you finance our debauchery? Would you finance our sin? Of course not. Now, many times we ask God for things in the same way. We ask God to underwrite our worldliness. We ask God to underwrite our carnality. Why should God give us more strength to serve the devil? We ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And so, first of all, sometimes God doesn't hear our prayer, or He hears our prayer, and He simply says no. Whenever you pray about anything and the answer doesn't come, ask yourself this question: are my motives pure? Are my motives pure? Am I earnestly, sincerely, with all of my heart, seeking the will of God? And sometimes the answer, therefore, may be simply denied. But number two, and here's where we're going to close in a minute. You may be asking in the will of God, and the answer is not simply denied. It is strategically, and I want to underscore the word strategically, it is strategically delayed. Now, you're in chapter 1 of Luke. Look, in, if you will, in verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Zacharias, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Now, the King James translates it, is heard. It may be translated, was heard. I mean, it was heard back in the past. As a matter of fact, Zacharias and Elizabeth had stopped praying. They'd ask, and the prayer wasn't heard. And so they thought, well, we must be praying out of the will of God. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, literally was heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, evidently, they had given up praying, and their hope for a son, they'd been asking God, oh, God, give us a son, God, give us a son, please give us a son. They got older and older and older, and finally it dawned on them that they were too old, humanly speaking, to have a child. And when God said to Zacharias, you're going to have a son, notice what he said. Go over to verse 18 and look at it. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And yet, God had heard the prayer when he was young, and when he was able to have a child, and they'd been asking and asking and asking, and God didn't answer the prayer. Now, when perhaps they have, in despair, quit asking, now he's an old man, and God appears to him in the form of an angel, or the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, Zacharias, you and Elizabeth are going to have a child. Now, here is the point, and I want you to listen carefully. God had heard his prayer, and God had granted his request years ago. And now God is going to present the answer to a prayer that was heard years and years ago. God just simply delayed the answer until Zacharias had, as it were, given up hope. And then God says, your prayer was heard. Your prayer was heard. I'll give you another example of the same thing, of a prayer that was heard, but it doesn't seem like it was heard. And the people have had to wait and wait. For example, Daniel. In the book of Daniel, you might be interested. Put down Daniel chapter 10 and begin in verse 12. The angel who came to Daniel with an answer to prayer. Daniel was perplexed. He was seeking the will of God. He was seeking information and insight. And the angel comes to Daniel, and here's what he says. In Daniel 10, verse 12. And he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. That is, I've come to you to minister to you because you prayed. But the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, I want you to forget the last part of that verse because it's very convoluted and very complicated. All I want you to do is get the first part of that verse. Daniel has been praying. He's been praying, and he's been praying, and he's been praying, and he prays for 21 days. But God says to him, Daniel, you were heard the first time you prayed. The very first time. The minute you set out to get the thing answered, when you said, God, I am going to seek your face, I'm going to fast and pray, I'm going to afflict myself, and Lord, I'm going to pray until the answer comes. And he kept on praying and praying and praying and praying, but he was praying after the answer had already come. He didn't have it in his hand, but God had it in his heart and in his mind to answer the prayer. Zacharias and Elizabeth had prayed and asked God for a son. God says, your prayer is answered. But then the days come, the years come, the years come, the years come, the time for childbearing is past. And then the angel says, oh yes, Zacharias, God heard your prayer way back young. Daniel is praying and praying and praying and praying, The angel says, "Hey, Dan, son, your prayer was heard when you prayed to begin with. Now, you kept on praying, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I want you to know that your prayer was heard." You see, the answer was delayed. Now, God delays sometimes the answer. We don't have the answer, and yet we do have it. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, the Williams translation says this, Jesus is speaking as a prayer promise. "So then I tell you, whenever you pray and ask for anything, have faith," now notice this, "that it has been given you, and you will get it." Sounds contradictory, doesn't it? Have faith that it has been given you, and you will get it. That is, believe that you've got it, and you will get it. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to believe that you have something when you already have it. But to believe that you have something when you don't have it, that's faith. And I know that sounds a little strange, but Jesus is saying, "So I tell you that whenever you pray and ask for anything, have faith that it has been given you, and you will get it." That is, you may have it, but God delays the answer. It took a long time for the prayer of Elizabeth and Zacharias to be answered for John the Baptist. Now, why does God wait? Well, remember we said that the answer may be simply denied or it may be strategically delayed. God has a purpose in delaying the answer to your prayers. And you may be familiar with Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, which says, "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted." Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted. God is in the business of getting glory to himself. And so why does God delay the answer to prayer? Why did God delay this answer to prayer, for example, to Zacharias and Elizabeth? They had prayed. Their hearts were not wrong. Their hearts were right. I go back again to verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They asked God for something perfectly legitimate, and it did not come. Why? Well, God has two reasons, two primary reasons for delaying your prayer. Number one, he wants to display his glory. And number two, he wants to dispense his grace. Now, let's talk about those. God wants to display his glory. With God, timing is far more important than time. What God did with Elizabeth and with Zacharias was to wait until humanly it was impossible. I refer you again to verse 18. "And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this?" In other words, it's hard for me to take this in, angel. "Seeing I am an old man and my wife is well stricken in years." Humanly, it's impossible. Now, what God sometimes allows things to do is to get worse when we pray rather than better, so that when it does happen, there's no way to explain it except God. Maybe you have an unsaved husband. Maybe you're a precious woman in this church and you've been praying for your husband and he hasn't come to Christ. As a matter of fact, your husband is getting worse and worse and worse. One of these days, you just may throw up your hand and say, "He is impossible," and then God's going to step in and save him. You think about it. God waits sometimes until the situation gets so bad that the only way that the answer to prayer can be explained is supernatural. Again, God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. And time came, and time passed, and time came, and time passed, and time came, and time passed. And Abraham got antsy, and he co-opted his wife's maid, Hagar, produced an Ishmael. The whole world is in turmoil because of this, because he could not wait on God. He could not understand, "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you." When finally God gave them a son, the only way that it could be explained was God. And God got the glory. God waited until Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah was 90 years old. And God had to get the glory out of that. Genesis 17, verse 17, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" Yes, he did. Who got the glory? God did. Now, if they'd have had a child younger than that, when they were childbearing age, well, that's something to be grateful for, but not much of a miracle to shout about. Let me give you another example. It's found in John chapter 11, and it's with Lazarus. Lazarus got sick. Lazarus has died, and Lazarus is in the grave. He's been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus here delays to come. Here was a deliberate and purposeful postponement. Mary is pouting. Martha rebukes him. Lazarus is getting weaker and weaker. Where is Jesus? Why doesn't Jesus come? Jesus could do something. Where is he? Is Jesus ignorant? Doesn't he know? No, he knows. Is Jesus indifferent? Well, he loves. Is Jesus impotent? No, he can do it. Then where is Jesus? Remember what Jesus said in John 11, verse 4? This sickness is for the glory of God. Go down to John 11 and verse 40. After Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, he said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now, question. If Jesus had come and just healed Lazarus, that would have brought some thankfulness and some gratefulness. But what about when Jesus waited until it was humanly impossible and brought Lazarus out of the grave? Did that not give credence to the glory of God? Now, let me give you a cardinal rule about prayer. Here's a cardinal rule about prayer. God always answers prayer in a way that will give Him the greatest glory. Now, that's a cardinal rule. Don't miss that. God always takes the route in answered prayer that brings Him the greatest glory. And that's the secret to all answered prayer.
What a poignant thought to consider today. God always answers prayer in a way that will give Him the greatest glory. Coming up tomorrow, we'll hear part two of this important message. In the meantime, you may have a prayer request that you'd like to share. At Love Worth Finding, it's one of our great honors to come alongside you and pray with you and for you. If you go to our website, you can scroll down to find our prayer wall. This is one of our favorite ways to keep the ministry and the community praying continually for one another's needs. Go to lwf.org/radio and scroll down to our prayer wall today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, When Prayer Seems Unanswered. Or you can order online at lwf.org/radio. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Thanks for studying in God's Word with us today. If you want to partner with us in sharing these timeless messages, consider becoming an ambassador of the Word. You can learn more about that at the website, lwf.org/radio. And join us tomorrow for the conclusion of When Prayer Seems Unanswered, right here on Love Worth Finding. At the end of a brief note, one listener left on our prayer wall, she said this, "Thank you for your prayers and your resources at Love Worth Finding. It is helping me so much." You know, our mission at this ministry is to draw people to the heart of Jesus Himself, to help believers grow deeper in their faith, and we do that by airing these messages and then creating new tools and resources. To thank you for your gift this month, we'd love to send you a John 3:16 tract. The profound truth of the gospel is meant for everyone, and this tract makes it simple to share the good news of Jesus so anyone can understand it. For your gift right now, we'd love to send you a bundle of 25 John 3:16 tracts. So call with a gift today at 1-877-LOVE-GOD or give online at lwf.org/radio. And thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.